Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.
Today on the podcast, we want to talk about something super fascinating that has just happened, and that is that xAI, which is, of course, the AI company kind of spun out of, you know, the previous Twitter by Elon Musk, has open sourced their model of Grok, which is, of course, their ChatGPT competitor. This is absolutely fascinating because this is coming at a time where Elon Musk is literally suing OpenAI because they turned their company from an open source company into a closed source for-profit company. And so, of course, he's saying, look, you guys shouldn't have done that. I invested, you know, millions of dollars into this as a nonprofit. Now you changed it, you know, whatever. So he's got his own gripes about this. He's suing them. But I think it's perhaps is like a show of, look, anyone can do it. He's literally changed what, you know, was previously for him. xAI was a, you know, a for-profit or whatever, just a regular company. And he's open sourcing his Grok model. This isn't something that's completely out of the ordinary. We're seeing a lot of other big players in AI doing similar things. There's people saying that it's risky or bad or good or all these different things. But Jamie, what are you seeing on this? This is a fascinating story.
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw all this coming with just with the lawsuit against OpenAI and then just kind of who Elon Musk is as far as he does have, you know, a vision for like helping humanity. He doesn't really care about money at this point. Right. And so... he's willing
lost
to
$20 billion on X. So
exactly. He wanted to, you know, he cared about censorship, and so he basically bought X to prove that he didn't really care. And so I could see this kind of being another power play in a sense to accomplish his original vision, which was to help better humanity with AI instead of turning into a, you know, for-profit machine. So I think we definitely saw this coming. It'll be interesting to see how many people start building GPTs and apps on this platform, if that'll be a big draw because it's, you know, open source and free or what. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, I think this is going to be fascinating. And of course, anytime you see these open source models, the big takeaway is like, oh my gosh, you can kind of run this thing on your own. And now like you run it on your own servers, like you kind of gave it away for free in a way. And so I think that that's amazing. And so for people building tools, this is a really awesome opportunity. If you like what Grok is able to do and how it works, I think some of their integrations with, of course, X or Twitter or whatever is pretty impressive currently. But at the same time, there is a lot of people that are still criticizing this. If you go and look at like TechCrunch and a bunch of other publications, for example, like TechCrunch, the headline is like xAI open sources base model of Grok, but without any training code. And there's like a lot of people being like, they're not saying what all of the weights are or, you know, they're not giving all the training code. They're not giving all the data. Actually, I think they might have shared the weights, but they're like, they're not giving all the data. So it's not like, I don't know, they haven't like completely given it away. This is actually kind of standard, to be honest. If you look at what Meta's doing with Meta AI you know, their Llama models, like they're giving these away for people. They're open sourcing a lot of them, but they're not giving away everything. They're not giving unlimited commercial licenses for everything. There's like stipulations and rules around it. And, you know, anyway, so all this to say, like, it's open source. You know, maybe we'll get more open source. Maybe they'll get more data in the future. I think this is a good step. And for people that are kind of criticizing it, I mean, in my opinion, this is a good step of goodwill. Like, he literally didn't have to do this. And I think this is kind of cool. One thing I did want to bring up that I thought was fascinating was how much money he's actually spending. So there was a report done, and the CEO Perplexity was talking about it and said that Elon Musk, or really, you know, xAI, is paying out one of the highest salaries and compensation packages for their developers. So obviously, this isn't like a super cheap thing to make. He's literally paying out right now more than Anthropic and OpenAI to their developers. So this is still pretty expensive, right?
Oh yeah, I didn't realize that. That's crazy. But I think, you know, he does realize he has to compete. And I do think, I mean, there's a lot of open source software that I have, you know, have experience with in the past where when it first comes out, it's not as good. It's free, but it's not as good as the paid, you know, Adobe, for example. But then once people kind of use it and grow and develop it, it ends up becoming pretty equivalent to the paid version. And so I think that is one good point you bring up. It's not, as according to like some of the data and models, it's showing it's not as accurate or quite as good as GPT-4 yet. But I do think he has a long ways to go to grow. Cause I just, I saw a little, tidbit out there that, what's his name? The, OpenAI guy, Sam Altman.
Oh, Sam Altman, yeah.
He recently talked about GPT-5. And so I think, you know, we will see it probably this year. And so I think, yeah, Elon realizes he has a long ways to go. So.
For sure. Yeah, like in, you know, from what I've tested, like this is in no way, you know, a competitor to GPT-4. Like GPT-4 is still the winner here. This is what I use. I pay for, I guess I get the Grok or whatever because I have the X premium or, you know, the blue check mark, whatever that thing is. And I got it so I could test out Grok. But I don't use it that much. I mostly use GPT-4. It's kind of the best. But I think that there's a lot of these companies that are kind of getting pretty close to GPT-4. So it'll be interesting to see how this goes. I still think OpenAI right now might be the winner. But for anyone curious on the tech capabilities of this, I just wanted to run through them really quick because I do think that this is interesting. So apparently, they did a blog post on all of this, but apparently they have described it as a 314 billion parameter mixture of experts model. Okay, this is, of course, the best type of AI model. Mixture of experts essentially means, like, in the past, it was a large language model, meaning one big model that just did everything. And I think that might have been what GPT-3 was. And they found it had a lot of limitations, specifically, like, it was terrible at math, it was terrible at reasoning, it was just bad at a lot of things. It's just kind of predicting the next word. And so we've moved to what's called a mixture of experts model. I'm happy to see that Grok is doing the same thing. But essentially what that means is instead of one big LLM, they have, like, a bunch of small LLMs or experts inside. So I think when there's some like leaks or whatever, and GPT-4 has like 16 experts inside, I haven't looked exactly into how many experts are inside of Grok, but you would essentially, you have like an expert in like English and an expert in like maybe something that's better at reasoning. And so when you ask it a question, it just decides which of these quote unquote experts to kind of send the query to that are going to get the result done the best. And so, yeah, anyways, I think this is cool that they're doing that. They also said that it was trained on a custom stack, and they also have said that it wasn't trained to do any specific task. So, like, for example, it wasn't trained specifically to chat with, like, chat conversations. It was just given, like, a ton of data. So people are still saying, like, oh, you know, like, they didn't really specify the details of what their custom stack were that they trained it on, and people were like, well, why don't you tell us, and all this kind of stuff. I mean, at the end of the day, they gave you the model to use for free, so... I mean, I wouldn't complain too much.
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, I think it's going to be interesting to see what people are able to do with Grok and, you know, what kind of use cases there'll be that come out of it. So if you enjoyed listening to this podcast, you got any value out of it, please leave us a review. We really appreciate it. It helps our podcast out a lot. And feel free to ask questions on there, too, and we love to answer those. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.